Well, we just heard on Juno Afternoon what a tough year it's been for businesses, nonprofits, as they shoulder the extra burdens of this COVID-19 pandemic. And our next guest wondered how they were going to manage building Juno's new homeless shelter, the Glory Hall, Glory Hall, which is out by the airport. And so we're going to talk about that today, get an update on the construction. Maria Lovishuk, who is executive director of the organization that runs Glory Hall, and Bruce Denton, vice president of the board, join us now to bring us up to date. I'm going to start with you, Maria. Maybe so we can appreciate the progress that's been made. Can you tell us where you were a year ago when you were launching this?
Yeah, thank you, Rhonda. So a year ago, we did not have land to build our new facility on. We did not have any funding to build our new facility. We did not have a conditional use permit. One thing we already did, though, was our wonderful partnership with Southeast Alaska Independent Living and United Human Services. We did know that we were going to do a building project together and develop the campus. And so that was already envisioned. But we didn't have the building design. We didn't have an architect. We didn't have a team. Yeah, we were pretty far, far away from where we are now.
So, Bruce, if I were standing at the new site, what would I see?
Well, you'd see two stories of what look like giant white Lego blocks, which are basically insulated concrete forms that are filled with concrete, insulated panels that are filled with concrete. And you'd look at it and say, well, why aren't there any doors or windows in the building? And that's because the doors and windows will get cut in when the contractor's ready to put them in. In the meantime, it allows us to have a building that's pretty fully insulated and they're able to work inside. And as of today, or actually a little bit earlier this week, the trusses started arriving. They're all being made locally. And probably next week we'll start seeing trusses rolling up and a roof on there within a couple of weeks.
So how do you feel about this? I mean, what Maria described is kind of, oh my God, we're embarking on something and we have almost nothing to get to this point. And how do you feel about that? And how did we get to this point? What did it take?
I feel great about it. I think what it took was support from the community, from all facets of the community, and recognizing an acute need and the issues that we face downtown, the issues that the folks that we serve are facing are just not acceptable. And I think everybody's realized that we need to do better. And it's been a fun process.
Well, do you think that you saw people step out that you didn't expect, Bruce?
Well, when we first started the fundraising drive to buy the property, which is really the keystone of anything, you know, you have very little success trying to raise private funding or grant funding for a project until you have land secured. So that was our initial goal, and we had Lorraine Durr and Ken Kelch that stepped up and volunteered to push that effort. And we raised close to $500,000 in about 4 months. And the thing that was exciting to me about that was that we had over 200 individual donations. I think probably the biggest one was some grant money in the $70,000 range. But for the most part, it was much smaller numbers. And it was across the board. It was private individuals and businesses, pretty much evenly balanced.
So, Maria, with COVID going on, limitations on capacity for buildings, safety measures that have to be taken, it's got to be quite a juggling act managing housing for the homeless, emergency housing.
It is, Rhonda. No, you're totally right. It's been a juggling act. We are super fortunate to have had the Filipino community rent us their building next door. Their building is quite a bit bigger than the Glory Hall, and so we were able to move in there and start providing all of our services from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. out of that facility. And it just made a tremendous difference. And we cannot say thank you enough to the Filipino community. And then our shelter, yes, the capacity dropped from 40 people to 16 people. We've been juggling, having people there, making sure that we're following all of the mandates. We've been fortunate enough to secure some funding for hotel rooms. So super grateful to hotels for working with us. But it definitely has been a juggling act, like you said. And we're just really excited to, well, for one, like everybody, for COVID to be over, but also to move into our new facility as quickly as we can.
So when it all comes together, Mariah, what are you going to be able to do that you can't do now? Aside, you know, from the COVID adjustments, how will things serve the homeless population better?
In so many ways. Our current building is not accessible. And so people with mobility issues cannot get into the shelter, or they have to be manually assisted by other people to get into the shelter, which is undignified, but also, frankly, unsafe. And so we will definitely be able to get folks in. We are increasing the number of bathrooms significantly. And I know that's a very basic thing, but if you don't have a bathroom, when you want to have a bathroom or when you need to have a bathroom, it actually is a really huge thing. We are going to have, instead of three giant rooms or three small rooms, the bunks, we're going to have individual sleeping spaces for everyone. We're going to have ability to provide people the security for their persons and for their belongings. We're going to have program security. We're going to have actual office space for our very small staff. We're going to have a place for people to meet with providers and get the help that they need. And we're going to have a perimeter outside of our building so that our facility does not have negative impact on the neighborhood like we do now. So it really is really exciting and better in so many ways.
Well, so how do you think that this is going to make a difference at the individual level? I mean, it sounds like it'll be easier to house people, to serve them. But as far as how they are affected by what you're able to offer, what kind of changes do you anticipate seeing?
So right now, if somebody goes to sleep in the Glory Hall, they go to sleep in a large room full of other people. And so if they have, say, PTSD or, you know, just want to sleep and don't want to hear somebody snoring right next to them, they don't want to smell somebody's feet, like they can't do any of that. So first and foremost, people are actually going to be able to get good night sleep. We unfortunately right now cannot offer folks a place to store their belongings securely. And so people are constantly losing things or things are getting stolen, like their medication, like their cell phones, important documents. People are going to be able to store those securely now. And frankly, you know, we're just going to have enough space now for people to be. Certainly the need in Juneau is much larger than 16 people for adequate emergency shelter, and people are just going to be able to emergency in one space. And those are just some of the things. I know I'm talking too much. And
No. I think you're giving us a feel for what we can expect. Some positive things ahead for us. Bruce, when do you think that you're going to be ready to open, and what kind of help do you need at this point from the community?
Well, our contract as it stands right now with the contractor is for completion in August, and we're actively negotiating some incentives to try and accelerate that completion date. We are still trying to raise enough money to finish the project, although we're doing really well considering the amount of time that we've been engaged. We got a substantial grant from the city to kind of kick things off, and we're able to leverage that, but we're still trying to raise as much more money as we can locally.
All right. Well, I want to thank both of you for joining us, Bruce Denton and Maria Lovishuk, with the Glory Hall. No longer the Glory Hole, but the Glory Hall. It's something we can look forward to in the coming year. Well, I want to thank everyone for joining us for Juneau Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride, and I'll be hosting some of your shows on a regular basis. And this, by the way, is my very first time, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it. Hope you have too. Thank you.